This evening, Psalm number 19. If you would just follow along with me as I read, we'll start in verse number 1 and going down through the whole psalm here. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Tonight we're going to look at the subject of delighting in God's ways. We see here at the end of this passage that David here has a desire to be delighting in God's ways. And we're going to bring out some points regarding this passage this evening. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I thank you for this church that you've allowed us to gather at, Lord. And I pray that you would take now what is said this evening. I pray that you would use it to help us better want to serve you and be more delighted in your ways, Lord. I pray that you would bless everything that is done and said from this place this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see in this psalm a wonderful picture of David's heart towards God, toward the ways of God, towards what God has done, toward the word of God. And we see his correct thoughts about God and his correct thoughts about the creation of God and the word of God lead him to have a correct heart in delighting in God's ways. We see this from the first verse of the passage all the way to the last verse, how he's very, very intent on looking upon what God has done, what God has written, and then how he should respond. So we're going to look at this evening and we're going to bring up a couple points of what David saw and then the attitude that we should find in our hearts as well. The first thing we see in verses 1 through 6, we see a declaration of God's work. A declaration of God's work. We see him talking of the creation of God, of God's hands. The first verse says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And then it goes on and talks about the days and the nights and then the sun and how the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man running a race, and that it touches everyone, it touches everything. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And we see that David looked at what God had done. He looked at the creation of God's hands and he looked at the work of God and he could see beauty in everything. He could see beauty in the days. He could see beauty in the nights. He could see the wonderful things that is spoken of in creation. Notice in verse number 3, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." We see that he's saying there's no different language on the earth. There's no different place on the earth where the beauty of God's handiwork isn't seen. There's nowhere you can go that you can't see God's handiwork. Just think of, just if we were to leave right now, we could go and we could see Lake Michigan, a beautiful, one of the largest bodies of water, obviously not a sea, a freshwater body of water, one of the largest ones, and we can go and we can see what beauty that is, and we can look and this morning as we drove to church, how beautiful those trees were with the snow on them. And we saw the beauty of just a fresh snowfall. And you can, in a few months, we'll be able to see the beauty of fresh flowers coming forth and the trees beginning to bud and the grass beginning to grow. Just beautiful things. And we can think of even more maybe grand things. You can go out and see the Grand Canyon or go to Yellowstone and see wonderful mountains and rock formations and things that there's no way we could possibly figure out how to make that ourselves. But we see that it says the heavens declare the glory of God. When we look at those things, it says the firmament showeth his handiwork. When we look at how wonderful God has created everything, you look at the fact that you look at some of these mountains and just think about the fact that perhaps the fingertip of God carved out those mountains. That God himself carved out those mountains. We look at the declaration of God's work. What does it say? It says God is glorious. The heavens declare the glory of God. And we see also that he's very handy. He's someone who has an imagination far above us. If we were had never seen anything, how would we figure out what a mountain was, right? How would we say, I'm going to take this rock and I'm going to pull it up this way and then make it steep? And no, we would never be able to figure that out. And so we see God's handiwork is shown in the firmaments and in the heavens, and we see the sun and the stars. And in Genesis, we read how he made the stars also. He created everything, and he put the planets where they were supposed to be, put the stars in their place. He placed every star. When we look up in the night sky, he placed all of those stars right where they are. He knows each one of them by name. And yet, sometimes we look at the handiwork of God, and we just kind of dismiss it. But truthfully, when we look at the earth, we should be looking at God in everything. We should try to see God in the flowers and in the trees and in the beauty of creation when we look out upon it. We see a declaration of God's work and the handiwork of his hands and the glory of God when we look at the heavens, when we look at the earth. We see first, as we said, the declaration of God's work. But notice with me, if you will, in verses 7 through verse 11, we see a description of God's word. There's a declaration of God's work, but we see a description of God's word in verses 7 through 11. We'll read those verses once again. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Just three things about this quickly this evening. I want us to notice what it is. God's word, what is it? We see in verse number 7, 8, and 9, we see a few descriptive words about God's word. We see that it's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. We see the testimony of the Lord is sure. We see the statutes of the Lord are right. We see the commandment of the Lord is pure. We see the fear of the Lord is clean. We see the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. What a great descriptive passage. And many times we don't even think of this as him speaking specifically of God's word. Usually we think of Psalm 119, you know, talking about God's word, thy statutes, thy precepts, over and over. But notice he gives us these seven words right here to describe the word of God: perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous. If there's one thing we can be sure of, it's that this book is all of those things. This book is perfect. This book is sure. This book is right. This book is pure. This book is clean and true and righteous. We need to have that same view of God's word. When we look at God's word, do we look as the psalmist David and say, the law of the Lord is perfect? God's word is perfect. God's word is sure. I can stand firmly upon this because it is sure, and its footing is sure as I stand there, and it's right. No matter if I have a differing opinion on something, when I turn to the word of God, it is what is right. It's pure. It's not defiled. It's clean. It's true and righteous. Do we have that view of God's word? I hope that we do this evening. Our theme for last year was thy word, and we should have a pure word or a pure view of the word of God, unclouded and unhindered view of the word of God, that it is perfect, that it is sure, that it is righteous and true and just and pure and right. We see the description of God's word. We saw what it is. We see also what it does. In those same verse, the law of the Lord is perfect. We see that it converts the soul. It's by the word of God that that the soul is converted. He says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see that if we're going to get that faith built up in us, whether it be faith for salvation or faith to live the Christian life, it's from hearing the word of God. We see faith, or that it the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Next, we see that it also makes the simple wise. Kind of on that same token, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to have faith, and if we're going to know what is right and wrong, if we're going to take the simple mind and make it wise as opposed to foolish, then it needs to be grounded in the word of God. In Proverbs, we see over and over the comparison of the wise and the foolish, right? You start simple, that means you don't know, and then once you learn, you have to choose if you're going to be wise or you're going to be foolish. And we see that the word of God is what takes that simple and makes it wise. It says, making wise the simple. We also see that the word of God rejoices the heart. How wonderful it is to know that when we're struggling with something and when we have a heartache, when we have something burdening our heart, whether it be a disappointment or a trial or a difficulty, when that's coming into our lives, that we can turn to the word of God to have it rejoice our heart. What does it say? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It kind of implies that when we look at the Word, and because we know the Word of God is true, that helps rejoice our heart. We know that when God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, we can have rejoicing in our heart because we know that it's true. We know that when we turn there and He says things and gives us promises, that we can believe them because we know that the statutes of the Lord are right, so we can have the rejoicing of our heart. We see that it converts the soul. It makes the simple wise. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. That's very similar to making wise the simple, but it enlightens the eyes. When we're maybe we don't know what we're going to do about something. We're struggling with a decision that needs to be made, and we don't have a clear sight of what we're going to do. We can turn to the Word of God to give us that wisdom, and then we can have enlightening of our eyes. We see that it enlightens the eyes, and we see lastly, it's in verse number nine. It says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring." Forever. Enduring forever, that sounds like Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We see that this is kind of goes back to what it is. It's something that endures forever. The word of God isn't going to change. The word of God hasn't changed and isn't going to change. The original copy of the word of God is still in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We see the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We see that what it is, that it's perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous. We see what it does. It converts the soul. It makes the simple wise. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. And we see it's something that endures forever. But we see, lastly, what it gives. What does it give? Look at verse number 11 with me this evening. It says, "Moreover, by them," that is the law of the Lord, the testimony, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. We see that it gives first a warning. When we see the word of God, especially the law, and we've talked about this in Sunday school, how the law gives us, it tells us what we're doing wrong. Right? It tells us that we're sinners. It tells us that there's a penalty that we need to pay. And we see this law is shining the light on our sin and basically saying, hey, you're a sinner. But we see that it gives us this warning. It tells us that there's a warning. Hey, because you're not doing right, you need to stop and you need to make yourself clean. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We see that if we're going the wrong way, the Bible gives us a warning that says, hey, you're going down the wrong path. Hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not living how you're supposed to be living. It gives us that warning. But we see also, it continues in that verse, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Now, that tells me that if we heed that warning, and we turn and we start keeping, we realize we're walking down a path and we're not keeping the law of the Lord, or we're not keeping true to what the Bible says, it gives us that warning. It says, hey, don't go down this path. But it tells us that if we switch over to the other path and we keep the law of the Lord, then there's a great reward that comes from it. How wonderful that is to know that if we're on the wrong path, the Bible will tell us, hey, you're on the wrong path. But then when we're on the right path and we keep the Bible, keep the words of the Bible, then we'll be rewarded for it. What a wonderful thing. It gives us a warning, but it also gives us a reward. We've seen the declaration of God's work, how David looked at the work of God and said that the heavens declare the glory of God. That God is a glorious person. He shows forth His handiwork in everything that He's done. And then he switches and looks at God's word and says, this is a perfect book. This is a pure book. This is a sure book. This is a true book. And he says that if I keep these words and I keep and do what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to be rewarded for it. I'm going to heed the warning that the Bible gives me when I'm walking down the wrong path. I'm going to heed the warning of, hey, don't go this way. And I'm going to turn and I'm going to walk the right path, and then I'll be rewarded for it. But we see that he had a good view of God's work, how that God was glorious, and he saw the glory of God, and we've seen how he had a good view of that, and we saw how he had a good view of God's word. But we see what it results in. We see the declaration of God's work, a description of God's word, but then we see, lastly, the desire of God's worker. The desire of God's worker. In verses 12 through 14, we see a wonderful picture of David's heart when he looked at what God had done. And when he looked at what God had written for him, we see a wonderful picture of his heart. What does he say? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Those three verses paint a vivid picture of David saying, hey, I want to have a clean heart. I want to be clean before thee. I want you to try me. And as he writes in elsewhere, see if there be any wicked way in me. I want you to cleanse that filth from me. And I want you to keep me from the other sins. Don't let sin have dominion over me. Let what I say and let what I think and let what I dwell on be acceptable in thy sight. What a wonderful picture of David's heart towards God. We see he had a desire to be cleansed. What a wonderful thing for us to, whether it be at salvation or whether it be in our day-to-day life, for us to be clean from sin. We should have that desire. And I know that we don't have to continually be saved and ask the Lord for forgiveness of our sins for salvation, but it is a good thing to keep a short account of sin with God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's talking to the believer, to the Christian, that we're supposed to keep a short account with God. We're not supposed to just keep sinning because grace isn't a license for us to just do whatever we want. But we need to make sure that when that sin comes into our lives, we get it out and we keep it far away from us. What does it say? Cleanse me from secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He had a desire to be cleansed, but we see also he had a desire to be kept from sin. So not only did he not want to, he wanted to get the sin out of his life, but he wanted to be kept from other sins. Basically, he's asking the Lord to put a hedge of protection, so to speak, about him, to not let the devil get to him with temptations that would cause him to sin, or sins that he might not even be thinking. That word presumptuous is kind of paints a picture of he wasn't even planning on it. It just kind of, he kind of just stumbled into it. You know, it was like he was tempted just automatically and just did it. Not something, maybe not something he was planning on doing. He wasn't being conniving or evil in his thinking. Just something that he was walking along and it came up and he just did it. He wanted to be kept from that. He wanted to be pure in his heart. And we see why he wanted to do that. Why did he want to be cleansed from his sin? Why did he want to be kept from other sins? Because in verse 14 he tells us, he wanted the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart to be acceptable. How wonderful that is for us. How wonderful it would be for us to say, God, look inside my heart. And if there's something there that shouldn't be there, I want you to cleanse it from me. And if there's something coming that I don't even see coming, keep me from that sin. Put that hedge of protection about me and help me to avoid that sin. And if he were to ask us, well, why would you want me to do that? Why do you want me to cleanse your heart? And why do you want me to keep you from other sins? What a wonderful thing it would be for us to say, because I want what I say and what I think, what I dwell on, the meditations of what goes on in my heart to be acceptable to you. I don't want to just think on what I want to think on. I don't want to just talk about what I want to talk about. I want my words and I want my thoughts and I want everything that goes on inside of me to be acceptable unto God. How wonderful that is. We see that this came from not just because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but he had a right view of what God had done, a right view of God's work and what God had created, and a right view of creation, and he had a right view of God's word. And that built up within him because he saw how the Bible was perfect and he saw how it was sure. Because he saw all those things and he saw how it made the simple to become wise, how it converted the soul of the sinner, how it enlightened the eyes, how it was a book that endured forever. Because he saw that, it caused a right desire in his heart. We see that if we're going to delight in God's ways, if we're going to be have a desire to be happy and be acceptable unto God and be have our words and our meditation of our heart be acceptable to God, then we're going to have to delight in His ways as well, just like David did. And what that's going to take is us looking at the declaration of God's work, looking at nature and saying, wow, my God did that. Not just saying, oh, there's another flower. And I'm not saying you have to be like like a tree hugger kind of person or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we must realize that God made this. God did this. That shows His power. It shows His glory. When you look in the sky on a clear summer night, and sometimes when I let the dog out before we go to bed in the evening in the summer, I'll go out there with him and I'll just look up at the stars. How amazing it is. And if you like looking up at the stars here, you should go down to New Mexico in the summer and look up at the stars. It's incredible. But nonetheless, when we look up at that, we can see the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. We serve a God that knows the name of every one of those stars that we can't even begin to fathom how many there are. He put them where they are. He put them there and he set them there and put them in their courses. We need to have we need to look at God's work and not just look at it and say, oh, that's pretty and I like to look at it, but say, no, my God made that. The God who walks with me, the God who part of the Trinity that lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me was there when God made those stars. When God made the grass, when God made the seas, when God made the trees to come forth, and He made all of that, God was there. The God that I serve, the same God I serve, made that and made it for me to enjoy and was there and did that. But then when we have a good view of God's work, we need to make sure that we also have a good view of God's Word. How many Christians struggle in their Christian life because they don't have the right relationship with their Bible? They maybe read it a couple times, perhaps a week, or they might bring it to church and open it and read it there, but they don't have a relationship of realizing that it's a perfect book. It's a sure book. It's a pure book. It's a right book, a righteous book, a clean book. They don't have a desire to love God's Word. I've said Joshua 1:8, a verse, one of my favorite verses about God's Word, tells us very simply to love God's Word and then live God's Word. I think that's a great recipe for us. We just need to love God's Word, realize that this book is for me. It would say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That first part tells us to love God's Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We got to love it. We need to realize that, hey, this is God's Word. God wrote me a letter. God wrote me a letter from Genesis to Revelation, and then He preserved it for me, and He gave it to me. He gave me this book. The God, the same God that we were just talking about that created the stars and the planets and the trees and the mountains and all the beauty that we see, that same God wrote us a book and gave it to us. That seems like it'd be a very important, the same glorious, powerful God that created the universe gave us a book and told us, hey, if you want to be successful in your Christian life, this is how you do it. We need to have a right view of the work of God's hands, but also the Word that He has given us. And let that develop the right desire in our heart. What was the desire of God's worker, David? To be cleansed from sin. To God created me a clean heart, as the psalmist says in another place. But we see that it says, cleanse me from secret faults. Creating me a clean heart is the idea there. To keep me from presumptuous sins. Don't let me just fall into sin, so to speak. Let me be guarded by You. Walk with me. And I believe that goes back to having the right view of God's Word. When we're constantly in God's Word, we're not tempted so much by the other things. But cleanse me from sin and then keep me from sin. so that I can have acceptable words and meditations of my heart, that those things will be acceptable unto you. Is that our desire? Do we delight in God's way in the fact that we love His work and we love His word, and then we have a desire to serve Him? Do we have that desire to be cleansed from sin, to be kept from sin, and then have words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable unto Him? I'm afraid that many Christians go through life without ever having that desire. They don't care if God really appreciates what they're talking about. They don't care if God appreciates what they're thinking about or what they're dwelling on. They just say, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What's more to it? But the fact of the matter is, God wants us to be a successful Christian. In Joshua 1:8, the verse I mentioned just a moment ago, is the only time success is used in the whole Bible. It says if we love God's word and then we live it, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and then thou shalt have good success. We see that a relationship with God's word is how we are successful in the Christian life. I believe the relationship with God's word is what causes us to say, God, cleanse me from sin. Get the sin out of my heart. And if I'm walking away that's going to lead me to sin, keep me from walking that way. I don't want to be in that sin, because I want to have a tongue and I want to have a heart that's acceptable to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How wonderful would it be to pray that every morning? When we get up, say, God, cleanse me from sin. Keep me from sin today, and let me have let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I think that'd be a wonderful prayer for us even in 2021. In 2021, that would be a great prayer, just as it was for David. To say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We must develop that and have a desire to be acceptable in God's sight. To have those things be acceptable. That's not just going to come overnight. I think part of the reason David saw that is because he did have a good view of what God had done, what God had made for him to look at, the stars of the and the wonderful beauty that God has made. But he also had a good view of God's word. He had a good view of what God had given to him. We need to have that same view as well, so that we can say, cleanse me from sin, keep me from sin, and let my thoughts and let my words be acceptable unto you. If we're going to delight in God's ways, we're going to have to take these steps and apply them to our lives. If we're going to be successful as a Christian, we're going to have a right relationship with God's word. If we're going to be someone who looks at God's word right, we're going to have to realize that it's the word from God, the same God who made the world and created the universe, gave us this book. He wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants to walk with us and help us. He wants to cleanse us from sin. He wants to help keep us from sin. He wants to have us have words and thoughts that are acceptable to Him. But it needs to be our desire as well. The desire of David should be the desire of us, to be clean from sin, to be kept from sin, so that we can have an acceptable words and acceptable thoughts to the Lord. This evening, I encourage you to be someone who delights in God's ways. Be someone who, when you get up in the morning or when you lay your head down to sleep, you ask the Lord, Lord, cleanse me from sin. Get that sin out of my heart and out of my life. I know there was some things today I didn't think that, or I thought that was not right. There was some things I said that I shouldn't have. There was a couple things I did that I shouldn't have done. Oh, Lord, I want you to get those sins out of my life. And tomorrow, when I'm tempted with the same thing, keep me from that sin. Lord, because let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What a wonderful prayer it was for David, and what a wonderful prayer it is for us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, so that we can delight in God's ways. We can walk the path that He would have us to walk and do what He would have us to do, and we can have a better relationship with Him.